Este es un podcast de Ibero 90.9. Las palabras pertenecen al aire. Y el viento no tiene por qué llevárselas. Con la llegada de los podcasts, la radio vive otra oportunidad. Esto es Segundo Aire. Conversaciones que el aire nos trajo, pero el viento no se pudo llevar. Todos los jueves, encuentra un nuevo episodio con lo mejor de la propuesta cultural y musical de Ibero 90.9.
Todo el mundo dice que no deberías conocer a tus ídolos. En 2020, el álbum Where I'm Meant to Be de Ezra Collective fue elegido por mayoría de votos como el mejor disco del año para quienes hacemos Ibero 90.9 FM. Meses después, ganaron el Mercury Prize. El baterista y líder de la banda, Femi Cueloso, se unió a nuestra cabina virtual para platicar con Feru, Nat y Aldebarán en Otra Vez Las 9, programa que se transmite de lunes a viernes cada vez que el reloj marca Otra Vez Las 9. Sobre su amor por Latinoamérica, el concepto de su nuevo álbum, Dance No One's Watching, su próxima presentación en Baidorá y todo lo que podemos hacer para vivir alegres, esta es la conversación que tuvimos con Ezra Collective en este segundo aire.
Estamos de vuelta y arrancamos así la última parte de este programa de Otra Vez Las 9. Muy contentos nosotros por tener un gran invitado por acá en la cabaña virtual de esta estación, que en algún momento, en el 2022, salió un material discográfico que nos voló a todos la cabeza, titulado Where I'm Meant to Be, y se convirtió en el disco número uno de la selección de Ibero 90.9 de ese año, el disco que más nos impactó a todos los que formamos parte de esta estación alternativa. Después, ese mismo álbum les dio el premio a creador al Mercury Prize, y ahora han anunciado ya un tour por Latinoamérica para el 2025. El festival acá en México será el Baidorá, que tendrá el chance de presentar a estos muchachos de Ezra Collective acá en México. Y pues estamos muy contentos de tener la oportunidad de platicar con uno de los miembros fundadores de este colectivo titulado Ezra. Femi Cueloso está por acá con nosotros. Femi, can you hear us? Welcome to Ibero 90.9 FM. How are you?
Hola. I'm good. Are you okay?
Hola, Femi.
Hola. Hola, hola. Hey, Femi.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here with us. Did you speak a little bit Spanish or only a few words?
I can say hola and adiós. Yeah, I'm trying to learn. When I'm there, I pick up more words. Like, do you know what I mean? But nothing I can say on the radio right now to impress anyone.
Don't worry, you have time. You have enough time.
Okay.
To learn a little bit. You know already three words. No. Maybe with
exactly.
Five, you are going to
yeah,
do.
Exactly.
That's enough.
That's enough. So, how do you feel, Femi, for this new announcement that you are going to start this new world tour, the first time that you are going to be playing here in Mexico and in Latin America?
Honestly, it's been one of my dreams forever to come to South America with Ezra Collective. I played in Mexico 3 times, played in Brazil 5 times, Argentina 5 times, but never with Ezra Collective. So to feel that energy, that beauty, that passion with my brothers is going to be very, very special. So I'm very, very happy and grateful.
And what excites you the most about performing in places like Chile, Brazil, Argentina, Mexico? Any specific cultural experiences you're looking forward to?
I feel like Latin America understands passion and dancing and living in the moment, maybe more than anywhere else in the world that I've been to. I feel like every time I'm in Mexico, it's like there's no rules. It's like we're just gonna dance and party until we can't anymore. And I feel like a lot of the way that Ezra Collective approaches life is inspired by the way that South America approaches life. It's not necessarily about what you have, but it's more about what you can bring. And that is very, very exciting. So to be able to play to so many like-minded people is something that really excites me a lot.
Wow, that's amazing. I kind of envy you. I want to go to South America too. I wanted to change a little bit the topic of conversation. Your music blends a lot of influences from Afrobeat, jazz, and a lot of UK sounds. I wanted to ask you, how do you strike a balance between like honoring your musical roots, but also pushing boundaries to innovate within that genre?
I think the musical roots of jazz is all about pushing the boundaries. Mm-hmm. So the more you allow yourself to be influenced by other music, the more you're honoring what jazz was always meant to be. You know, for me, jazz music was about paying homage to, you know, the West African influence, the African American influence, the Western harmony, the Negro spiritual blues harmony, and paying reference and homage to all of those things, but also telling a new story. And I feel like as long as we're telling a new story and making reference and homage to those things, then whatever you collide it with is always valid. That's just how I kind of see it.
Okay, thank you.
That's amazing, man. And well, we were talking about this feeling of dancing, right? Mm-hmm. And you guys have a new album, Dance, No One's Watching, that brings that spirit, right? That you can dance as like you want.
Yeah.
We were talking that we have two left foot here.
Yeah, we cannot dance.
Yeah, but with your music, we try.
Yeah.
There is no such thing as a bad dancer. It's just about whether you're honest or dishonest.
Yeah, so, maybe when I'm in my bathroom at 2 a.m. in the morning, I can give a concert with dance moves and everything. But outside of my house, I don't know, man.
Well, I think for me, that feeling of in the shower at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
The most honest version of yourself.
It is.
And the less you care about what other people think, the more that 2 a.m. version of yourself will become 8 p.m. in the middle of the street.
I hope so. And also,
you know what's so crazy about what you just said?
What?
the song that I can hear in the background playing, God Gave Me Feet for Dancing, I wrote that song in the shower. It wasn't 2 a.m. I was in the shower doing my own concert, and that's how that song got written. So those moments in the shower on your own are important, you know?
My God, that's amazing. That's really amazing.
Yeah. Don't take shower for granted.
Don't take shower. In the shower, you can bring your best ideas, because
exactly,
we
honestly, just make sure your phone is there so you can record it.
Yeah, well, that's kind of hard then. Do you shower with your phone?
I didn't that time. I had to shout for help to get my phone.
Do you not play music? Do you not sing?
No, I don't play music so that I can make my music.
Oh, that's great. Well, yeah. You are a genius.
The consequences of being like a super creative artist.
thank you. Yeah.
So then you're taking a bath, and then you run out of the shower butt naked, and you are like, I have to write these down.
Yeah, literally, and that's God Gave Me Feet for Dancing. That's exactly how it was born.
Oh my God. Like, stop exposing me.
That's amazing, Femi. And we want to know about this balance between, how do you decide if one song has to have lyrics, or which one doesn't, which one has to be instrumental? How did you found that balance with Ezra Collective?
You know, sometimes when you're making food, let's say we're making tacos.
Okay.
And you put some meat in, then you put some like salsa, some guac in, and sometimes you bite it and you say, do you know what? It needs a little bit more guac inside. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit like how it is, because sometimes you bite it and you say, that's perfect. And sometimes we make a song,
spice.
With just a five of it, and it needs a little bit more spice, and that's what I call up a rapper. Or if we make a song and it's perfect, then it's instrumental. That's basically how it is.
And how did you choose Jasmine Lacey for the lyrics of this particular song, God Gave Me Feet for Dancing? How was the interaction?
Yeah, I mean, I only really make songs with my friends. Mm-hmm. So all of those people are just my friends, and you know, you're looking for the right spice for the food, you know what I mean? And Yasmin was the right spice for that song. So I called her up and it was like a match made in heaven, really.
Yeah, and that's really beautiful because this album was recorded at Abbey Road Studios with friends and family present, turning the sessions into a community celebration. So how did this influence the album's energy and overall sound?
I think it just made it more real and rough, you know. I think it just, it made it like we weren't thinking about people dancing. We were playing two people dancing.
Oh.
And I think it just made the whole process more honest. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm very grateful that's how we did that, you know.
Yes, actually, talking about that, like making music with your friends, a band may not last forever, but what you do for people with your platform will. I think you said that in an interview, if I'm not wrong. But how do you envision like making sure your legacy that you're building endures beyond like your musical career when you're long gone?
It's all about how many people you give it away to. That's what it comes down to. You know, Ezra Collective won't be remembered for, you know, how many festivals we played or how much money we made, or what we'll be remembered for is how many people did you help? How many musicians are going to do an interview on this radio station in 15 years and say, Femi from Ezra Collective taught me the drums, or TJ from Ezra Collective, you know, encouraged me on Instagram, or Joe from Ezra Collective helped me produce my first record. That's what lasts forever. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? And so as much as I want to play as many great shows, sell as many records and play as many festivals, that has never been the main aim. The main aim is always how many people can you inspire and give it away to? And if we do that successfully, then we will last forever.
That's beautiful, Femi. That's beautiful. And we are so anxious to get inspired by your show here in Mexico and the Carnaval Baidora. The festival is in a place, a very magical place. It's far for the city. So it's like a magical place. So
I went swimming there, you know, in the bay. And the trees, and it's the most beautiful place in the world. It's like going to heaven.
Yeah, it's like heaven, of course. And how are you preparing for that show specific? Because I don't know, maybe Ezra is like a band that plays, or I don't know, how do you feel more comfortable with the massive crowd or in a more intimate crowd places? How is the dynamic of Ezra Collective in that
way? Man. One person, 1 million people, it all feels the same to us. Just as long as everyone's down to get into it, we're cool. And by way of how to prepare for it, I want to speak Spanish on stage, so I'm going to try and learn some words before I get there.
Duolingo is great.
Duolingo is.
You can also listen this show every morning at 9 o'clock here in Mexico.
Yeah, that will help. But you guys talk too fast. It was too much going on. The problem I have with Duolingo is it always teaches you things you don't need. Like,
I
don't need to tell you like how many eggs I have. I just want to
tell
you
if the apple is red. Like,
exactly. I just want to say, like, by Dora, are you fighting hard with Ezra Collective? That's what, but they're not going to tell me that I'm Duolingo. So I need to figure it out myself. But you guys speak beautiful English. So maybe if we hang out for a little bit, you know what I mean? Like, I think you teach me a little bit of like Spanish and that, and I'll teach you the drums or whatever, and then
you can also teach us like UK slang or something.
Say no more. That's a perfect exchange.
Yeah.
And then the world will be a better place.
The world will be
nature will be healing then.
exactly, and we can heal together in the forest, right?
Yeah, I love that. And also, you've mentioned that This last album is about finding joy and freedom without external approval. So can you share more about how this theme resonates with you personally?
Yeah, 100%. It's like, you know, I was thinking about the phrase, the pursuit of happiness. Mm-hmm. And I don't really believe in that phrase because it makes it sound like you are in control of what makes you happy or sad, but you're not. You know, if I wake up tomorrow morning and I read the news, I will probably be sad because of what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
But at the same, so I can't pursue happiness. It's not up to me. But I think a lot of the music we make is about understanding that if you have joy in your heart, that's more powerful than happiness or sadness. It's not me saying I'm going to be happy all the time, but what I am saying is whether I'm happy or sad, I can still make sure that there's still a vibe to keep life going. Do you know what I'm saying? So that's a little bit of what we believe.
Wow. And what kind of things do you think you can control for your happiness? Not necessarily using the word happiness, but like content or joy.
Yeah, I think some of the things you can control by way of your joy, mm-hmm, is you can control times when you choose to celebrate your joy. That is in your control. You know, you don't have to be happy to come to the Ezra Collective concert. Mm-hmm. You can just make a decision that for this hour, I'm just going to dance and be joyful. Mm-hmm. And those moments are important. It's not pretending. Sometimes it's just you're forcing a habit to be taking place. You know, anyone that exercises a lot will say sometimes they just decide, let me go for this run because I know that that will bring me joy. Mm-hmm. When you finish your run, anything that was hurting you before will probably still be there, but at least you gave yourself just that moment where you can say, let me celebrate this moment of joy. So yeah, that's what we use our instruments for, and that's what a lot of people use the dance floor for.
I love
and
that perspective.
That would be my advice, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful. Yesterday I was talking with a friend who's listening, Sarah, about how when you go to a concert, whatever baggage you have or like any bad moment or any bad thoughts about something, you just release them. Like you dance, you cry, like it's really cathartic. So I really resonate with what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's the perfect way of doing it, really. And it's, you know, as long as I live, I'm going to continue to give people the opportunity to do that. You know, I want to set up opportunities for people to experience joy, you know.
Thank you.
thank you, because we are going to be excited in that moment.
We're going to be joyful. Amazing. We're going to decide to be joyful.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, and I'll see you on that dance floor.
Yeah. We're going to dance like nobody's watching.
Perfect.
Like I dance at 2 a.m. in my bathroom.
Say no more, we're just going to do it outside.
Thank you so much for this time, for your time, Femi, for talking to us here in Ibero 90.9 FM. And please come again soon, yeah, to learn a little bit Spanish.
Physical interview. I'm looking forward to hanging out with you. You sound like a lot of fun, so I look forward to hanging out with you.
Of course, we try.
All right then.
Which song would you like to present for us right now? Which song will be the great for our time here? We are starting our day, at 10 a.m. in the morning. So which song would you say it's gonna be great for the audience?
Let's play "Shaking Body" by Ezra Collective. Ooh. And get everyone dancing.
Great, Shaking Body, thank you so much, and see you 2025 for the Carnaval Baidora.
Para más conversaciones con los artistas que marcan la vanguardia musical, escucha Ibero 90.9, abierto las 24 horas del día en el 90.9 del FM y en www.ibero909.fm. Si pasa otra cosa buena, les aviso por aquí y le damos un segundo aire. El guión y la voz de este episodio son de Daniel Maldonado, Elvis No Elvis, y la postproducción de Ana Valencia, La Vampiresa. Hasta la próxima.
Más podcasts, música y radio en vivo en Ibero 99.fm.